This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny here on The Fan, Toby in for GP. I'm going to borrow from a wrestler, Tobes, that's from before your time. The great road dog Jesse James would say when he'd cut a promo in the ring, "Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody." The best. The best.
So good.
My feet is up. Literally, my feet is up. Right foot on this stool. I got tournament game there. And what's that? Knock, knock, who's there? Tournament game there. Quad box already. I'm in heaven. I got foodstuffs on the way. You and me. And hopefully you guys come see us at Tap Sports Bar at MGM National Harbor. I love this place. I love the NCAA tournament. I love these 2 days. It's all perfect. I could just say how much I love this for the next 4.5 hours. We got some breaking Local 53 news. We're going to get to you in a second here, Tobes. You mentioned your update. But first and foremost, how are you, my friend?
Dude, I can't complain. You're sitting here. You got the quad box rolling. We got all the games in front of us. Can't complain. When you got a day like this, you only get so many of these. I know it happens every year, but you only get so many. You got to enjoy them every single time. And this is a good start to a day.
I just love it, dude. We're sitting here going, where is SIU Edwardsville? I'm assuming it's in Edwardsville. But here they are giving Houston all they can handle.
I'm watching High Point. I'm so excited to watch High Point. I couldn't even tell you where they are. I haven't watched a single game. I can't name a single player.
They're not in a valley, I'll tell you that.
I'm rooting hard for them to beat Purdue. That's all I know.
Yeah. Make it 4 Boilermakers. You don't know that movie. Neither does Darius. It's Dumb and Dumber. Ryan probably doesn't know it either. All right, so let's set the scene for you guys, okay? We are here, as I mentioned, at Tap Sports Bar at MGM National Harbor, okay? So you come on in, like you're going to the casino, come around, take a left, come see us, eat some delicious foods, watch. You can hear the audio in the background. You can hear the place is already banging. This place rules. Food is outstanding. All the TVs you could want. The whole place is perfect. So that's what we're doing. We got plenty to talk about today, including who Washington just signed. Again, I'll tell you in a second. We'll talk about offseason expectations, some NFL rule changes we'll get into, chance to win Nationals opening day tickets at 4 p.m. Busy little bees, my friend. We got a lot to do. So, you kind of jogged me out of this, okay? When I heard that Washington, talking about the foosball gentleman, signed Michael Gallup, I go, okay, we got to leave the show with that. We got to do a long conversation. Because in my brain, Michael Gallup went for 1,100 yards. In NFL terms, that's a long, long time ago. And I kind of didn't realize, I mean, I knew the information if I'd sat down and, had a chance to think about it and go, wait a minute, maybe he hadn't been effective for a while. I didn't even realize he was retired. It was out of football last year. So in my brain, I went, they just signed the Cowboys' number 2 wide receiver. Sort of from a time gone, but this is not the, whoa, needle mover, there's your number 2 receiver. Maybe that I kind of my initial reaction when I came back to the table, I went, no, you're kidding me. That's ridiculous. And you're like, yeah, he's readily available for anybody to sign at any time, dude. He was retired last year.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that years ago, like to your point, 2019, went for 1,100 yards, and you thought, oh boy, this is someone Washington's going to have to deal with for a long time, looked like a legit number 2 receiver, and then since then, he hasn't been that same guy. In 2020, went for 800 yards and looked solid, looked like someone, again, that you're going to have to deal with for a long time. Since then, 445 in 2021, 424 in 2022, and then 418 in 23, didn't play this past season.
Yeah.
So he's someone that's been kind of irrelevant for a couple of years now, and he's a name that we all know, but it's not like he's going to be a huge impact player. I mean, just looking at a depth chart right now, I don't even know if he's your top in the top five. And if he is, he's fifth, right? Like, Noah Brown's ahead of him. I would think at this point Luke McCaffrey's ahead of him. Obviously, Debo and Terry are ahead of him. So you're looking at a spot where this guy, if he comes in and plays well, that'd be nice. He's had a pedigree of doing it before, a 1,000-yard receiver. But I also wouldn't be surprised if it's something where he comes in, doesn't really impress you, and you say, all right, it was worth a shot, and you move on.
Like, I guess it's to the point. Initially, I'm going, okay, there's their answer. There's kind of that. He's probably not as fast as he once was. Again, my initial reaction. Doesn't have the same strides, had some injuries, but still, there's your kind of do-everything number two receiver opposite Terry McLaurin. That was my first reaction. And then, of course, looking at it, thinking about it, no, it's not. If he makes the team, that's kind of the story. That's the level we're talking about. This is a Jamison Crowder-level signing at best. Probably below that. Again, not to disparage him, not to knock it down. There's no downside to this. Nobody's, you didn't give him $20 million a year to do something for you. But the name we certainly recognize, and there's some familiarity, of course, with Dan Quinn's time in Dallas. So they know the player. And again, this is one of those, hey, it's an upside for you to get your career back if you want to do that. In Michael Gallup's case, still only 29 years old, by the way. And, you know, it's a chance to say, maybe you make the club, maybe you contribute, maybe you don't. If he does, it's a great story. If he doesn't, again, no skin off your back.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminds you of Zach Ertz last year, honestly.
Yeah.
And Zach Ertz had a good season. So it's not to say that he can't come in
that
and play well
happen,
and
right?
Maybe be your second, third receiver. Obviously, he's someone with pedigree, kind of like Ertz was. And Ertz had kind of fallen off. You thought, oh, they signed Ertz. That's nice. That's a guy that can help you for a year and whatever. And he ended up being a really, really valuable asset. So could Gallup come in here and end up going for 700-800 yards again? Absolutely. He could end up being a dude that plays a real pivotal role for this team. I wouldn't bank on it, though. He's someone that just kind of hasn't done a whole lot the last couple of years, but he's got – they do a thing the last couple of years with these one-year free agents where it's guys that have track records, and sometimes you find it, right? Bobby Wagner was a guy that had a track record, and he came in and played really well. So maybe they find something there, but also – it's worth the throw. It's worth seeing what you could do. If you find somebody, great. If not, it really doesn't hurt you.
Yeah, exactly the point there. So we'll be talking about it throughout the show at the 3 o'clock hour. Tobes and I will tackle this offseason. It's not over yet. There's still a draft. There's still a couple rounds of free agency. They're going to be shopping in this bin at this point. Maybe not as low as Michael Gallup, a guy that was out of football. But, you know, the bargains. This is kind of where you're going to round out your football team necessarily when you have as much turnover as they've kind of been forced to have, and the nature of the NFL too. You're going to be filling out your roster with guys in that lower tier, the bargain tier. The headliners, we know who they've been, but we'll talk about that offseason at 3 o'clock. So let's get back into the tournament, kind of the reason you and I are here at Tap Sports Bar at MGM National Harbor, and this thing that captures our attention every year. I've referenced this a couple times, Tobes, but allow me to wax poetic if I may. This is one of the most unique things in the whole world, and that's not hyperbolic. No other country has this. No other sporting-obsessed public has this. There are certainly things that stop the world's attention, the World Cup, the Olympics. There are certainly things in individual countries, a regatta in England between a couple of famous colleges. In Japan, their high school World Series sort of deal that they have that sort of stops the country, and everybody kind of is captivated by it. This thing where there are a couple obsessed folks, and I used to be one of them. It's kind of cooled off now that I'm, 30 years older than some of these guys almost. You don't know much about High Point, and now you're living and dying with
exactly.
Every bucket or miss. You don't know much about Montana, and next thing you know, we're going to have an experience like a Florida Gulf Coast or a Valparaiso, and you know exactly who, what, where, when, and why I'm talking about as soon as I say those names. There wasn't a George Mason until there was. There wasn't the Cinderella team that really only played a couple of games, but that's all anyone would talk about for 2 days is they got either to the Sweet 16 or got bounced after one round. I mean, it's so special. It's so crazy. It's so unique. We love our tournaments. We love our gambling. We love our brackets. We love finding a vested interest in this thing. I don't know why it captivates us the way that it does, but I know that it does.
Well, sometimes simplicity is the best, right, Danny? Like, there are other sports that have tournaments of sorts. The World Cup, Specifically, soccer has a lot of these, right? The Champions League and different stuff. But they're a little bit more complex. There's groups, and then you get thrown into a bracket. This is no frills aside from the first four. You are who you are. You play if you keep going if you win. If you lose, you're out. There's no frills about it. It's literally just as plain as could be what it is. And you throw all the teams in there. And the beauty of it, too, is it'd be one thing if you didn't get every year the excitement,
yep,
the pageantry, all of that stuff in there. But you get upsets every single year. You get
every time
just incredible stories every single year. And so the fact that every year you know that you have no idea who's going to be that year, but you know for a fact that some double-digit seed is going to make a run to the Sweet 16, and you have no idea who. We love filling out our brackets. There's just something about the simplicity, the fun, and even though college sports has kind of taken a change where – if you listen to us talk about the college basketball about 2 months ago, we're complaining about the transfer portal, NIL, yeah, and all this stuff. You know what? You're not going to hear any of that today because
today is
still the best spectacle there is in all sports.
So years ago, there was this, before NIL and before, these what are you going to, the fancy name for them was collectives. What they really are is legal slush funds to pay players.
Correct.
Not to like endorse a car dealership locally, but just, hey, you're basically paying guys to play the sport. And a lot of folks don't care and they're fine with it. The logistics to me are not great, but that's, put that aside. The chaos that is now the NCAA with transfer portal and everything else, that all kind of goes out the window. But years ago, before players got any kind of money other than their scholarship and their stipends and their dues and the free food and lodging and training staff and all that other kind of stuff, but before they got their money, some people who were sort of basketball snobs or NBA snobs would go, I can't believe you guys like it. It's inferior basketball. And you just like the fact that these players don't get paid. And this very sort of like demeaning, kind of accusatory sort of vibe about that. And my answer to the last part was, yes, there's a reason.
Yeah.
I watched Court of Gold. There's a reason when you put USA on the jersey and you get the Dream Team, the Redeem Team, or Dream Team Part 2, whatever you want to call these different guys, and if they're not making a red cent off at Tobes, it is quite literally about pride. And these are pros doing this. What everybody misses about the NCAA, and again, this is my high horse moment here for a second, so I apologize as I'm kind of doing this here, monopolizing it. But most of the NCAA, and I'm not talking about the organization, I'm talking about college athletes. I'm most of them. Most of them are me. Very little pro prospect. Maybe a tryout here or there and a week at extended spring training until they tell you no thank you because some 16-year-old kid signed who's got a loose arm.
Sure.
And we can see you're going to get, your metabolism is going to slow down, you're going to get fat. But majority of these guys from SIU Edwardsville and Montana are not playing pro basketball. They're not going anywhere. And 99% of athletes that tee it up in college sports are not the lottery pick, are not the draft pick. At the majors there are, but they're playing because this is their window. This is the only chance they get to have this level of meaningful stuff, and they're going to be selling insurance for some of these guys, for the seniors, in a couple of weeks. Seriously, that's what makes it special. It's not a money thing. Right? I mean, it means the money for the schools and there's some pride. I'll give you one example, and I'll turn it back over to you. I apologize for monopolizing. I'm from the D.C. area. Growing up at the time that I did, you know what was a big deal? Georgetown. You know what was a big deal? Maryland. You know who wasn't a big deal? GW, where I went. Until I'm turning on the television as a college sports-obsessed kid, and I watched the George Washington University give the Fab Five at Michigan in the Sweet 16 all they could handle. They're going back and forth and back and forth, and I'm going, wait a minute, this school is 2 miles from my high school. It's right down the road. I never go to Foggy Bottom for any reason. I don't have any business down there, but I'm, it's right here. Maybe this is something I need, not consider, but as I was just a kid, but it's like now they're on my radar. That is magical. You can't replicate that. So the like sinister version, or the word I'm looking for exactly, but the like cynical version maybe is, yeah, they just made some money for the university and the kids don't get any. Well, nothing did more for a school and its reputation, for VCU going to the Final Four, for Mason going to the Final Four, for all these schools, the Grand Canyon universities that nobody's ever heard of. Well, they've heard of them now.
Yeah, and I think, too, you brought this up yesterday, and I think it's a really good point. It's single elimination.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's something to do with our primitive, you know, medieval selves that, you know, when you're playing to the death back then and everything and you, all this stuff going on that is literally life or death. This obviously isn't life or death,
right.
But if you lose, you're out.
It's your and sporting so, life, yeah.
You know, if you're Duke and you show up tomorrow and you're not ready to play, you could lose. If you're whoever it is, and they've got NBA prospects all over the place. You
up
mentioned the Fab Five. If you don't show up to play that day, you could be done.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool part about this, too, is every year it creates heroes that we'll never talk about again outside of the context of March Madness. Jack Golke, right, with Oakland University, dude that just knocked down all those threes.
I'll go all day, just, dude. Ali Farouk Manesh, Harold Arsenault from Weber State. I mean, these guys become household names.
And it's dudes that you would never care about outside of the context of March Madness, and they make names for themselves, and it's just so cool that every single year there's so many games. And also I think the reason it's so popular, too, it fits into what a lot of consumers love. I mean, how many people watch football normally anymore versus how many people watch Red Zone?
Right.
This is like basketball's version of Red Zone. It's one game ends, another, and it's always high drama. That's why the NFL's so good. It's always high drama. Everything's close at the end. That's what this is.
If there's a game that's a blowout, you've got another choice instantly. You know, now when you get to the higher the further weekends and it's one game at a time and, you know, you're hit and miss. But that's the beauty of that kind of frenzy. That is the tournament. I mean, for all the season to build up, and again, I understand most of you guys aren't consuming college hoops in that, like, you know, voracious way that I certainly used to as a teenager. You're starting with the opening tip in October and Midnight Madnesses and all these other kind of things, and, you know, who's going to win the Duke-Carolina matchup and where's Virginia going to finish, where's Maryland going to finish in the ACC. I know it's different, but all the build is for this. And within 24 hours, really, I'll say 48 hours, you're down to half.
Yeah.
And within 96 hours, you're down 75% of the teams that made the tournament, and we won't think about them again. Now, individually in each market, they'll go have their press conference. The coach say, you know, we fought hard, man. We did everything we possibly could. I don't know why this guy's a football coach from Texas. We did everything we could. I mean, I'm proud of them kids. I mean, all those guys did was everything I asked them to do, and it's a great group, and you know, but we didn't coach well enough. We didn't play well enough. And credit to Creighton. Credit to whoever we're losing to. You know what I mean? Like, they'll do that business. But it's out of our conscious. And it's on to the next thing. It's on to the next crazy story. The next buzzer beater. To your point, the next hero.
Well, and what's hilarious, too, is obviously a big part of this is filling out your brackets and being in pools with people. And what's hilarious is I called my grandma last night. She lives with her twin sister. I called her. They haven't watched a single minute of college basketball, and I bet you they beat my bracket. My bracket. So even people that don't care about college basketball at all are going to tune in for this. It doesn't matter how much you know. I mean, some of these experts, they know every single name in college basketball, seemingly. They're geniuses. And then you look at their bracket at the end, and they've missed half of it.
Yeah, like, they got nothing right.
It's so crazy. It's so unpredictable. It's really a lot of encapsulation of what us Americans love all in a couple of days. There's nothing like the Thursday and Friday
to
open up the first round of the NCAA tournament.
It's just perfect. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067 is the telephone number. Here's where I want to start the show. Why do we love this tournament? Even if you don't, even if you're one of the people that's like, nah, I don't really care. It's annoying. Everyone talks about it, and I want to just go back to the normal sporting calendar. I can't wait for them to play their golf, and then, you know, they'll follow a golfer down the golf course, and I want more golf. Even if you're one of those guys that doesn't even like this thing, take yourself out of your own little brain sphere there. Why do we love this thing? Why is it special? Why do we love the NCAA tournament? Why do we love college basketball like nothing else, really, for a couple of weeks? 800-636-1067. I got a couple more reasons and thoughts on that. I want to hear from you guys. So up the phones, 800-636-1067. Why do we love the tourney? Next on The Fan. Grant Nanny with you here on The Fan. No GP this week. He's down in Florida with the fam. So I got Toby sitting to my left. You can check us out on 106.7 The Fan's YouTube page. We're live on Twitter. We are live on the radio, on the Odyssey app. The point is, you got no excuse.
Yeah, my bracket's already screwed, so screw this.
Yeah, you want to check out the show, you can check out the show, man. You know what I mean? Like, you got to. We're giving you the chance to listen to the program. All right? That's all we can offer you guys. We are at Tap Sports Bar, MGM National Harbor. This rules. I am pummeling a cheesesteak. The reason I'm eating a cheesesteak is yesterday I asked the room, what does everyone want to eat right now? And Dara said cheesesteak. So a cheesesteak was on my mind because of what Dara said, and so I'm eating a cheesesteak. I hope that made sense to everybody. 800-636-1067 is the phone number. What makes this thing special? What makes this NCAA tournament, this unique thing that nobody else does anywhere around the world like this, captures the attention of the country for a couple of weeks? And really, this first weekend is just insane. The Thursday into Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all of a sudden, three-quarter of the teams that had championship dreams are going home licking their wounds, or, you know, some in the case of the upperclassmen, seniors, you know, had to go start their lives, go work in an accounting firm or something, you know. Transfer portals open up, and this group of kids that's losing these games will never be together again in the same kind of way. Just insane how it all happens. To me, I'm going to get to these calls here in a moment, Tobes. To me, I think the single elimination part of it is huge, right? Because any given moment, you get a team that you never heard of is hot from three, then the other team gets puckered, it's cold. So all of a sudden we're watching High Point. I don't know what state High Point's in. I think North Carolina, but I couldn't prove it. They're giving Purdue all they can handle, right? With 5 minutes to go, it's now ballooned to a seven-point game, but it got down to two just a minute ago. That sort of thing is incredible theater, because everybody knows that feeling of that pucker, of the intensity, of the fear of being the high seed that now gets played in all these one shining moment things. And forever, you're the team. You're the UCLA team that lost to Princeton. You're the Syracuse team that lost to Norfolk back in the day, you know, or whatever. Just amazing to think about. So it's a blast. I love it so much. But why do you think it's special? Why
yeah, I mean, you nailed it with a single elimination thing, because if High Point plays Purdue a best of three, a best of five, best of seven, well, we know who's advancing. But with this one game, anybody can beat anybody. And it used to be that there was only one matchup that couldn't happen, was a 16 over a 1. And now we've seen it happen. And so literally, at any point in any game, if something goes the other way, any team can beat anybody. And it's so special to watch. It's so cool to see people that you've never heard of, people that you won't care about outside of the couple of days they're in this tournament. But you're just so dialed in to watch basketball these couple of days. There's so much of it. It's all good, it seems like. And like you talked about earlier, I mean, if there's a game that's a blowout, look, it looks like Houston's going to just run away with this one against SIUE. Who cares? I've got High Point Purdue on. I got Auburn tipping off in a little bit. I got everything I could ever want. And it's all so good and so much fun to watch.
800-636-1067. Question is simple. Why do we love this thing so much? Why do we love this unique, incredible, chaotic deal every spring? Let's go to line one. Ed in Hagerstown, what makes this tournament so great?
Well, good afternoon, DT. One thing I enjoy is it's the Davids versus the Goliaths, as you mentioned earlier. Of course, I'm a big San Diego State fan. They went out. But I really enjoyed the fact that the class that the coach and the players, after they lost, they took it on the chin. But you know what? That shows respect. And you know what? And I enjoy the fact that these little teams can take out the big guys. And you know what? Like you said, they get a little piece of the action, and possibly later on, they develop into stronger basketball teams. So I just like the growth of basketball, but the growth of these young mid-majors. They grow. Knock off the big guys, so be it.
Yeah, love it. Thanks, Ed. I mean, just to his point, Sobes, the idea that a small school could beat a big school, I mean, you've seen it before. It used to be, there have been upsets as long as there's been basketball games, right? But there are more players now. There are more fits for players now. And that's, I think it's a case across the board with it's the downs, it's, you know, it's the upside, as it were. I've lamented for a long time how it sinks for a lot of kids that you have to specialize earlier and earlier. But these kids have played more basketball than their peers did 30 years ago. That's a fact. There's more AAU. There's more travel team. There's more opportunity to get seen, to find a fit. There are more programs where it might make sense, where, you know, you had in mind I have to go to Duke, North Carolina, or Michigan. And now it's like, well, you could go there, sit on the bench for a handful of years. You could also go to fill-in-the-blank school. You could go to Creighton and start and all of a sudden be a really good player. And now you're a team and you've been together for a little bit. You could beat some people. The point is there's just more opportunities. There's more renown and there's more good fits out there for basketball players.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, too, David versus Goliath. I mean, it's a story as old as time. It's literally a biblical story, right? It's something that we've loved for forever. Having David versus Goliath, for most of us, we feel like it's more relatable to be with David, regardless of if it's basketball, or football, sports, or even just in general. I'm no expert in a craft, right? Like, I'm not the best at something. But when you get an opportunity for someone that we can relate to, someone that, oh, I've never heard of this school before. Oh, wait, they're going to beat Duke? Oh, wait, they're going to beat North Carolina?
Let's do it, yeah.
It's just so great that we love those storylines. I think it's also something just kind of, it gets so philosophical when we talk about this stuff, but the inception of our country, right? Like, as Americans, we love the idea that we're going to knock off the big dog. And so the idea that you could have someone from High Point take on a big-time school like Purdue that is every year in the tournament, is talked about in the Big Ten every year, talked about being a potential national title contender, and they're going toe-to-toe with them for a night. It's just so cool, something you really don't see a whole lot in other sporting events, especially you get to the ones with series like we talked about earlier. Like, High Point's not winning a seven-game series against Purdue, but for one night they could. For one night they could.
Let's go to line two, Robert in Ashburn. Why do we love this thing so much, man?
You guys and the previous caller pretty much dictated most of it. It is a David versus Goliath. It's a every game counts. But more than that, imagine like the players, like a UMBC or George Mason, telling their kids 20 years from now, yeah, we did that. That would be like amazing to be in those shoes. And then, of course, like if baseball did 80 games and then a three-game series bracket up until the World Series, imagine how exciting that would be. I think the whole bracket setup is just great.
That is what I wanted to get to. Robert, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Your bracket. Now, it's like your fantasy football team. Nobody cares about your fantasy football team
exactly.
Except for you. So, like, your bracket is yours, and it's annoying, but it becomes your rooting interest. I pick, for example, you and I are opposite. I pick Creighton to beat Louisville. You pick Louisville, and I'm sitting there pumping my fist after every Creighton bucket. But I know Kalkbrenner, and the other kid that got buckets, I'm blanking on, had an unbelievable
day. Yeah, he's been there for like 15 years.
He's been there for 19 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're sitting there going, Louisville, why did I pick Louisville? Damn it. Like, that, when would that ever happen?
No.
And that's the point, right? It's like it's your sports bet that you're sitting there rooting on. It's like, oh, I need Zach Ertz to have under 4.5 receptions. You're sitting there watching it, thrilled by that. No one else in the room cares. Well, you've got that times millions of people. Every office, every pro team is doing this. Everybody anywhere is doing it. I ran the pool at our for my college team. Craig Stammen for years ran every tournament pool with the Nationals. I think he was Ryan Zimmerman called him the tournament director. So he would set those up. They would do Masters brackets. But like, this is the thing, man. It's so fun and it captures our attention here. Let's go to Disco and Laurel line three. Why do we love this tournament so much, man?
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Good, buddy.
Yep, so you know what? I think here's the thing that I don't know has been touched on. I think, one, college basketball is the probably the purest form of the game. So to just see the level of competition in the purest form of the game is one thing. The second thing is, I think it's the camaraderie, guys. Many of us know somebody that went to one of these schools. So you can call them up and, hey, man, I see your team is in the tournament. Hey, those guys are like taking off a whole week of work because their team is there. So I think it's really the camaraderie. Also, it's the, it's also the underdog, like you said, Yale. Wow, they're like the smarty art school. And then you've got these small schools where you're Googling on your computer, where's Robert Morris?
Right.
Where's St. Francis? So I think that regional pride is part of it, too.
I love it, Disco. Thanks, buddy. Yeah, so I'll give you a great example. One of my best friends in the world, and subsequently I've met a bunch of guys that I'm friends with, went to Davidson. And so, a year when GW wasn't doing anything, wasn't even in the tournament, this Davidson team with what was the guy's name? Oh, what was the NBA? Del Curry, one of his sons.
Oh, yeah.
Is there at Davidson?
He wore 30 or something like that?
Maybe.
I can't remember.
I'm never good with jersey numbers. But they're like, hey, you got to see this guy. I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm sure I got to see it.
I'm sure he's going
to
be good. Yeah.
If he was any good, he would have gone.
Yeah, he goes to Davidson, whatever.
He would have gone somewhere
better.
Should
have been Hokie, by the way.
Sure enough, that tournament was the Steph Curry tournament. Mm-hmm. And we're going to – I was living in New York at that point. We're going to bars every time they're playing, and everybody's in red. And I'm sitting there. I got no affiliation other than my buddy played football there. And we're going bat bleep crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Every curl, every three, every step back and things he was doing that he does now in the association. One of the great players of all time. But that's the point that Disco just made. It's like, it's not like I picked him to go win, but it was like – I sort of adopted Davidson, right?
Yeah.
Because I had this loose affiliation.
Well, and the other cool part about it, two things. Everyone is watching it, Danny. Everyone is watching it. The people that don't watch the tournament are the weird ones. Like, we like soccer, so we're watching the World Cup. We go talk to somebody at the bar like, dude, it's soccer. Who cares? We're the weird ones because we like the World Cup.
We're the weird ones, yeah.
But we're around here. You go, hey, what do you think Duke's going to do in the tournament? Hey, do you like St. John's this year? And suddenly everybody's an expert. Everybody knows because everybody is tuned into this thing. So it's so cool to do it together. And Disco brought it up. It's a pure form of basketball in that the thing that I like, we're watching High Point. I know we've talked about them a lot. But High Point's running like 10, 12 deep because they're running hockey line changes because they're pushing the tempo, getting up and down the floor. You'll never see that in an NBA game. They all play similar styles. When you get to the college hoops, the way that they all play, depending upon what team you're going to watch, they're going to slow it down like UVA did.
Right,
the pack
it's dramatically
line
different. Yeah.
Some teams are only going to shoot three. Some teams like Alabama are just going to sprint up and down the floor, shoot threes, and if you score 90 on them, they hope they can score 110 on you. Like, it's so cool to watch different styles. You never know what you're going to get each game, and it's so much fun.
That's Toby Altizer. I'm Danny Ruye. This is Grant and Danny Tobes in for GP. 3 o'clock hour. Off season for the local 53. We'll break it down. How good have they been versus your expectations? Happy, sad, medium, everything in between. We'll do that at 3 o'clock. Also, what their latest signing means for the club at 3. 4 o'clock, Beltway Blitz, and your chance to win Nationals tickets to which game is it? Oh, the first one, opening day. Don't go anywhere here. G&D on the fan, Tobes in for Jeeps. The March matchups, they're here. There's no better place to catch every game with us, the Tap Sports Bar at MGM National Harbor. Join 106.7 The Fan's B. Mitch and Finley and Grant and Danny this Thursday. That's today and Friday for the opening round of the men's tourney. We're doing our shows live at Tap, Mouthwater, and Game Day Bites, and tons of TVs. Your tournament headquarters is waiting only at MGM National Harbor. The reason I do that read right now, Tobes, one, it's kind of a rule we have to do it.
Sure.
But two, it's to lead me into this little bit of discussion. Because the answer is this. What's your ideal setup for the tournament? Now, I'm one of those people that doesn't do a public place in general by choice for games that, like, I have a huge vested interest in. Like, Nationals playoff games, it's a very select group of people that are allowed in my circle of angsty angioplasty complaining. You know what I mean? Like, it's I can't do a big public setting.
Yeah, yeah.
Washington football games. I can't do a big group, only, you know, rarely. Even still, I'll probably have to go back and watch the game later. But for something like this, get me the sports book.
Oh, yes.
Get me the comfortable seating and get me the fried food. Get me a million TVs. I don't want to be limited by anything. I want it all in my eyeballs. So that's my answer. That's the answer to this question. What's your ideal setup for the tournament? This is it for me.
Yeah, I love this. This isn't my ideal setup. This is probably number two. When I was in college, I would skip classes. Don't tell my professors. But I would skip classes, go over to my cousin's house. We'd set up three or four TVs, and we'd all just hang out, order some pizzas, and hang out at the house. So doing the same thing, just in a little bit more of an intimate environment. I'm the same as you when it comes to games that I really care about, like a Commanders game, a playoff game. I prefer not to be around anyone. I prefer to be by myself, or if I am, you know, maybe around one or two close friends that are the same, you know, cheering for the same way I am. Like, I can't have someone trolling me. When it comes to this, this is great. So this environment is great. I would still prefer to be on the couch, but if you're going to have to say you can't be there, sign me up for this.
Shout out to former Dean of Students at the St. Olmert School for Boys, Terry Boussard. He caught me. Not blue, not green, red-handed, brother. We have the full day, right? Then the upper school, because it's a 4th through 12th grade. So 4th through 8th grades, lower school, upper school is 9th through 12th, high school. Lunch is required attendance, right? It's family style. You all sit down and interact with faculty members and people at your own table and classmates and stuff. And then there's chapel right afterwards. Now, I had a pretty good hit rate of doing those things. I love lunch so much,
and I
went to chapel every time. You get in trouble if you don't. They take attendance.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, at one tournament day, the Thursday, where's old Randy Duye? I'm down in the audiovisual lab. That was the thing that we had back then.
Yeah.
Like, that was where the TV was
okay,
on campus.
Yeah.
And I got CBS on, and I'm sitting down there in the chair during lunch. I snuck some food and went out like I was going to the bathroom, and you know, I had like whatever the dish was. It's mobile. I could take it. And then chapel, and I'm still sitting there when I hear, who's winning? And I said, I remember what game I was watching. I said, oh, I think Cal is up 3 at the – oh, crap. That's the Dean of Students.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's
so
tough.
That was a few weeks of 7 a.m.s that I had to do.
I had a college professor that understood that we were all taking science as an elective because we needed to, and no one was actually a science major. And so he said he understood that we were all watching in the back of the class and periodically, what's the score? So great professor that just did not care that we were watching. I actually learned something in the class. I was taking physics. I did learn a little bit of something, but also enjoyed watching some March Madness during his class as well.
Dude, you sleep on how hard physics is. Remember all those formulas about velocity, like V1 times V2 equals delta? You're like, what the? How is this? I can't remember this stuff.
It was so rudimentary, so I remember a little bit of it. If you asked me to do any of it, though, couldn't help you.
It's so hard. For me, science is like, hey, man, look at the microscope. There's like an amoeba. Or like, hey, man, like, we could tell you in theory about like what a mitochondria does or like a proton. All good. When they started putting like really hard math in my science, I'm like, I'm already struggling with the other one. Now you're going to combine them like a Voltron of hard for me? I can't do it.
Not that anyone wants this, but to give you a little insight into what Toby Altizer is thinking about on a daily basis, I'm like hopping in the elevator in my apartment headed to work or whatever, and I'm thinking, you know how they say like everything's moving, but we just can't feel like all the atoms are moving? Like, how the heck does that work?
How does that work?
Like, I'm looking at an elevator door and you're telling me there's a bunch of molecules moving around? I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't understand any of that.
The
stuff.
Solid is moving? No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No,
I
it's
just
not
saw
physics
it close.
Professor.
It's right there.
You know what's moving is us on from this discussion. 3 o'clock. Washington had an interesting free agency period to this point. It's the couple big moves, right? Headline moves. And then a lot of kind of around the edge, re-signing some of their own guys, some of the veterans. I think 18 of them overall are back. A couple marginal moves. It's been, I don't say up uneven because that sounds critical, but it's been interesting.
Yeah.
So we're going to ask you here in a few moments your expectations of what this free agency period was going to be like. Did this meet them, exceed them, disappoint you? Just kind of get your reaction. Toby and I will put our thinking caps on, delve deep into that, talking about the local 53 trying to improve this football team. Where are you at on what they've done in free agency? It's not over. I mean, there's more Michael Gallup type signings. There's more kind of below the radar, not sexy type stuff. To find some pieces to fill out your roster, you got to get to 53 somehow. And when you have very little inherited drafted players from the previous regime, which was so abominably terrible, you got to go out and chop this way, just fill out a roster. But how do you feel about this free agency period to this point? 800-636-1067. Tobes and I'll take out a shovel. Deep dive next.